Morning to a very familiar Palm Sunday passage, and that's going to be Luke chapter 19. We'll probably start around verse 28 in just a moment. You know, all the Gospels talk to us and speak to us and record for us Palm Sunday, the day that Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior, entered into Jerusalem to be proclaimed as King, if you will. And it's Passover, it's Passover week. My goodness, you have maybe 2 million people there in Jerusalem. So the public ministry of Jesus has now come to an end. He's entering Jerusalem the last 7 days of his earthly life here. And he's entering in as the Lamb that takes away the sin of the world. He's going to die on the cross for our sins. Now listen carefully. I know that the majority of you, all you who are listening online, and I thank you for, man, all the way from Maryland to California, you guys, I looked last week, I was so thankful to see so many people listening in. But listen, I know if you are an older believer, that you're very, very familiar with the triumphal entry of Christ Jesus into Jerusalem 2,000 years ago. Now, if you're not a newer believer, or if you are a newer believer, you might not be familiar with it at all. But some of you that are maybe older believers, you're saying, now, Bill, listen, you know, I celebrate the glorious past thing that our Savior did. Amen, I do too. But you might be saying in your heart, what I really need, because I've been shut in all week. And as a matter of fact, I've been shut in since now for 3 weeks or whatever. And, you know, I'm afraid to go out. Now I'm going to have to start wearing masks. All these things that, Bill, maybe I just need something like a today word. I'm so glad that maybe some of you think that, because that's exactly what's going to happen this morning. You're going to have a today word, a Palm Sunday word that you need more than anything else. You see, I need something that is real in this pandemic. I need something that is true as we're in this pestilence that's going across our nation and so forth. So God's timing, if you will, I don't think it could be any better than it is right now as we look at the triumphal entry of Christ into Jerusalem. Now listen carefully. Only the truth of God will sustain you through all that we're going through. That we have the strong, sure, certain word of the living God. And loved one, you have absolutely, the world has no foundation, they have no wisdom, they have no guidance, you have nothing unless you have the truth of God, you apply the truth of God, and you believe the truth of God. We have all those things. So as we look at the most phenomenal, unbelievable fulfillment of Scripture in the entire Bible almost, that's why we need to grasp this Palm Sunday message. You know, the Bible says in 1 John 5:20, it says, "And we know that the Son of God has come and given us an understanding that we may know Him who is true." Well, that's what we need this morning, Him who is true, our Lord, our Savior. We need the truth of God's Word. And it says, "And we are in Him who is true, in His Son, Jesus Christ. This is the true God and eternal life." You know, it says that you may know. Listen, meaning to know with certainty, to know as a fact that Jesus Christ is our Lord. He has opened up our hearts. We understand the Word of God by the Spirit of God. Listen, we have Him who is true. We have the real truth. We have the real person. We have real life. We have real ongoing, never-ending, eternal life. Someone said this, "You can't have a thing called truth if you don't have a thing called real, and Jesus is real." Look at verse 28 this morning, very familiar passage. "And when Jesus had said this," meaning back in chapter 19, verse 11 and so forth, when everyone was so excited because they believed that Jesus, as he entered into Jerusalem, was going to set up and usher in the kingdom of God. But you see, Jesus wasn't going to be the kind of Messiah that they believed in and wanted. In just a few minutes, we'll see. And so here, when he entered into Jerusalem, listen very carefully. I've preached this some of this before, and maybe you'll remember this, but the Word of God is so perfect, so accurate, so true. Jesus had to enter into the exact city, Jerusalem, on the exact day, because the Bible said he had to do that. See how, why we need the Word of God right now more than ever before? We need to believe the Word of God. God's Word is certain and it is sure. Now you may be saying, okay, Bill, now how do you know that Jesus entered into Jerusalem on this, on Palm Sunday, as we call it, his Passion Week, on the exact day, in the exact city? How do I know that the Scripture teaches that? Well, because 550 years earlier, there was a man named Daniel who was praying and fasting and seeking God, and he was studying out the book of Jeremiah, and he was asking God, when will the Jews return from Babylonian captivity? In other words, when are we going to get to go home, Lord? Well, the angel Gabriel showed up while he was praying and gave him a greater picture and a greater answer than to what he was praying for. Let me just read it to you quickly. In Daniel 9:24, the angel says to Daniel, he says, listen, 70 weeks are determined for your people and for the holy city to finish, or literally to bring an end to the transgression. In other words, Israel's continued sin of disobedience. He says, to make an end of sins. Now, that'll never happen until the second coming of Christ. This prophecy, listen now, to make reconciliation for iniquity. That's going to occur when Christ, or it did occur when Christ went to the cross. It says to bring in everlasting righteousness. That's the millennial reign, the thousand-year reign of Christ, the second coming. To seal up the vision and the prophecy and to anoint the most holy. Now, listen to what he says to Daniel. Daniel, know, therefore, understand that from the going forth of the command to restore and build Jerusalem until Messiah the Prince shall be 7 weeks, or literally 49 years, and 62 weeks. And it says, and the streets shall be built again, and the wall, even in troublesome time. We know that the wall speaks of the time of Nehemiah. He rebuilt the wall in 52 days. Now listen, a total of 490 years to quickly go through this prophecy was given. And if you've ever studied out Sir Robert Anderson, his incredible book, The Coming Prince, I concur and believe how he figured all of this up. Let me give it to you. We know that the command to restore and rebuild Jerusalem was found in Nehemiah chapter 2, verses 1 through 8 in that area. And the decree from Artaxerxes to Nehemiah was March 14th, 445 BC. That is a historical, biblical fact. So if you take the 49 years mentioned by Daniel, you take plus the 34 years, that equals 483 years until the Messiah comes and enters into Jerusalem. Now listen carefully. That means that it's going to be a public introduction, a public event. So if you multiply all that out using 360 days a year with the Babylonian calendar, you come up with 17,380 days. So from March 14th, 445 BC, plus 173,880 days, we know the exact day that Jesus entered into Jerusalem because the angel told Daniel, and it would be April the 6th, 32 AD, and he was welcomed as king. That is how sure, that is how perfect, that is how certain the Word of God is. Now listen, we need to believe more than ever right now the trustworthiness of God's Word. Jesus entered into the exact city, Jerusalem, on the exact day, which was a Sunday, just like God said he would. Listen, we're in trouble in this nation. Matter of fact, the world's in trouble. It's sad that not everyone can get the Word, but not everyone believes the Word. We believe the Word of God. Look at verse 29 now. Came to pass as he drew to Bethany at the mountain called Olivet. He sent two of his disciples, saying, go into a village opposite you, where as you enter, you'll find a colt tied, or literally in Matthew's gospel, it's a donkey, on which no one has ever sat. So it was never used for work or anything. It was unbroken, if you will. He says, loose it and bring it here. And if anyone asks you why you're loosing it, thus you shall say to him, because the Lord has need of it. So those who went were sent there their way. They found it just as Jesus has said to them. But as they were loosing the colt, the owner said to them, well, why are you loosing the colt? And they said, the Lord has need of him. Now, that's what you call perfect truth. The word of God is perfect truth. This incredible prophecy, the certainty of God's word, had to take place on the exact day. It had to be a Sunday in the exact city. It had to be Jerusalem. It had to be on the exact animal, a donkey, and it had to be to the exact people, only the inhabitants of Jerusalem. And not only that, it could only be done by one person, and that is the Messiah, the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. Let me prove it by this prophecy from Zechariah 9:9. It says, rejoice greatly, O daughter of Zion. Shout, O daughter of Jerusalem, meaning of the inhabitants of Jerusalem. Behold, your King is coming to you. He's just. He's having salvation. He's lowly, riding on a donkey. That was written 550 years before this event that we're studying this morning ever happened. Jesus entered in Jerusalem bringing salvation and love and peace, all those things. But we know what Scripture says. He came to his own in John 1:11. He came to his own and his own rejected him. Listen, they refused the salvation that Jesus would offer. But listen carefully now. Every Jew, man, they knew Zechariah's prophecy about the king, the Messiah, how one day he would ride into Jerusalem, and he had to ride on the exact animal, again, the donkey. And it says, and look what they did. And when they brought him to Jesus, they threw their own clothes on the colt, and they set Jesus on him. And as he went, Matthew's gospel says a huge, gigantic multitude. It says many spread their clothes on the road. And if we went into one of John's gospel, the reason we call it Palm Sunday, John's gospel records for us at the triumphal entry, they cut down branches out of the tree. They cut off palm branches. It says, and then as he was now drawing near to the descent of the Mount of Olives, the whole multitude of the disciples, look what they did. They began to rejoice, praise God with a loud voice for all the mighty works they had seen, saying, and they're going to quote now a messianic psalm. They're going to quote Psalm 118, verse 26. Blessed is the King who comes in the name of the Lord. Peace in heaven and glory in the highest. Listen, the multitudes are praising the Lord. You know what they're saying? They're calling Jesus the Son of God, the King of Israel. And he is the King. He is the King of Kings. He's the King of glory, loved one. Matthew's gospel said they cried out, Hosanna, Hosanna, which means save us, but not save us from their sins. Remember, this was a Passover week. They were preparing for Passover. Passover, the Jewish festival, celebrating the deliverance of the children of Israel from Egyptian bondage. So what were they celebrating? Well, the King has come. He's going to usher in the kingdom. He's going to destroy Rome, and it's all going to be over with. That's what they were praying for. That's what they were believing. But no, Jesus didn't come as a conquering on some white stallion with an army and all of that. He was lowly. He was gentle. He was humble. He came into Jerusalem to offer peace and love and salvation. You know, he didn't come to conquer a people. Not at all, no. He was going to come to be crucified for the world. You see, that messianic psalm that all the Jewish people knew, they should have quoted the next verse, which was Psalm 18:27. God is the Lord. He has given us light. Here it comes. Bind the sacrifice with cords, with nails, and to the horns of the altar. In other words, he's going to the cross for the sins of the world. He's the true Passover lamb. Now, verses 37 through 38 that we just read tell us that all of the people are shouting, man, thousands of them. Now, but someone else was doing something else, shouting as well, or singing. Listen carefully. Psalm 24, 9. It says, lift up your heads, O you gates. Lift up your everlasting doors, or open up the doors. Here comes the reason. For the King of glory, he shall come in. And who is the King of glory? He's the Lord of hosts. He is the King of glory. Who is the King of glory? The gates of the temple, they were shouting as if themselves, you know, open up, the King is here. Well, the King of glory now, in this case, well, he was the Lamb of God that takes away the sin of the world. Now, listen carefully. Did you know that this Psalm 24, according to ancient rabbinical resources and sources, tell us that Psalm 24 was always used in worship only on the first day of the week? Well, that means that was a Sunday. Now, with that being said, the very day that Jesus entered into Jerusalem was on a Sunday, remember? The exact day. Now, as that was happening, Psalm 24 was always sang or recited in the temple by the temple priest, and they were doing so at the very time, the very moment the Lord Jesus mounted on the donkey and entered in Jerusalem. The priest there in the temple, they were singing that song. So outside, the people were shouting, Hosanna, Hosanna, or the King is here, the King, save us. But inside the temple, the priest was singing, O Lord, lift up your gates, open up the doors, let the King of glory come in. Why didn't they recognize that? How could they have missed that? How do we miss the things of God, loved one? Listen, do you know what the King of glory means? Glory is a kabod, the weight. He is more awesome. He is more wonderful. He deserves more honor than anyone in the entire universe. He is our Lord. And you know, as they were shouting, Hosanna, save us, it was 7 days or even just a few days later, they would be saying, crucify him, crucify him. Now look at verse 39 with me. And some of the Pharisees called to Jesus from the crowd, teacher, rebuke your disciples. But Jesus answered and said to them, I tell you that if these should keep silent, the stones would immediately cry out. And now as he drew near, meaning to the Mount of Olives, it says he saw the city, he saw Jerusalem, and look what he did. He wept over it. That word in Greek is literally wailing, as though someone had just died. Listen, Jesus is standing on the Mount of Olives. He's looking out over the city. And what does Jesus do? He begins to weep, but not for himself, not for what he was getting ready to face, not being turned over to sinful men and beaten and scourged and die for the sins of the world. He wasn't crying for that. He was crying and weeping for what awaited the children of Israel. You know, he sees the future. Look at verse 42. Jesus saying, if you had known, even you especially in this your day, the things that make for your peace, but now they're hidden from your eyes. And look at what Jesus is about to prophesy. He's about to tell them their future. For the days will come, they're not there yet, but they will come upon you when your enemies will build an embankment around you, surround you. Look at those words, close you in on every side, meaning there's no way you're going to escape from your enemies. They're going to level you and your children within you and to the very ground. It's like a bloodbath, loved one, and they'll not leave in you one stone upon another. And look why it happened. Because you did not know the time of your visitation. The time that Jesus came to bring the grace of God, the salvation of God to his people. They did not even recognize God in their midst. They missed it. Now listen, I don't want to go into all that happened in AD 70. You know what happened. Titus came in. Oh, Lord, what he did 37 years from the time Jesus spoke that, they came in and they destroyed the temple. They killed nearly a million people. When it says that they leveled you, listen, did you know for 10 miles around Jerusalem, not only did they, the Romans, the 10th Legion of Rome, they were right there on the Mount of Olives, that they leveled, every tree was gone. They cut down every tree. Even hills, they leveled them. And you know what they did? As Matthew's gospel says, Jesus told them that not one stone would be left upon the other. You know, I've told you the story so many times, how the drunken Roman soldier came into the temple, rode in there, even though Titus said, don't touch the temple, you save it, because it was so beautiful. And there, when they went into that temple that Herod had been building for, what, 60 years or something, it was beautiful. There was nothing like it. The limestone, the gold. And that drunken soldier went in there with a torch. And when he lit all the curtains on fire, the place, the cedar, all the rest of it, with all the priests and all the people, they all perished. And as the fire went up, it melted the golden dome, and all the gold ran between the cracks of the stones, some weighing tons and tons. And then whenever the fire was finally out, what did the Roman soldiers do? They went and started pulling one stone down after another. Why? To retrieve the gold. God's word is certain. God's word never fails. Whenever God's word is sent out, it never returns to him void. Now listen to me. I went quickly through Palm Sunday. It's an incredible prophecies of that day that Jesus Christ, our Lord, loved one, listen, he had to come into Jerusalem, not on a Monday, not on a Tuesday, but on the exact day, which is a Sunday. He had to come in not to Jericho or not to Bethany. He had to come into only one city on the exact day, and that is Jerusalem. And he had to come in on not a horse. He had to come in on one animal and one animal only, and that is a donkey, to the exact people, the inhabitants of Jerusalem. And only one person could do it, the king of Israel. That is how sure, that is how certain the word of God is. Now listen, the Bible is from heaven. It is the word of God. It is alive. It is living. Listen to what 2 Peter 1:19, what he writes. He says, so we have the prophetic word confirmed. That word means the word is stable. It is sure. It is certain. He says, which you do well to heed. Let me say that again. He says, we have the prophetic word, the certain word, the true word of God, which you do well to heed. Why? You heed it as a light, meaning scripture, as a light that shines in a dark place. Say it that with me at home, dark place. That light that shines in a dark place until the day dawns and the morning star rises in your hearts. In other words, until Jesus comes for us. Let the living word, certain word of God, the sure word of God, lighten up your hearts. Don't let this fear overtake you that's overtaking our nation. Listen, we are the children of the living God. We are secure in Christ. Nothing is going to happen to us unless it goes through our Lord. No, listen. No, he goes on and he says, knowing this first, that no prophecy of Scripture is in any private interpretation or one's own personal interpretation. He says, but oh no, for prophecy never came by the will of man, but holy men of God spake as they were moved or literally carried along by the Spirit of God. See, the Holy Spirit, when all the 66 books, the Spirit of God was controlling. Yes, they were writing, but they were being controlled in the direction. They penned only what God wanted them to pen, even though they were penning it and they thought it was themselves. But loved one, listen, in the original writings, they are without error. That's how perfect God's word is. Remember what I said, what God just said? He says the world is a dark place, and it is a dark place. And it's a lot darker now because of the pandemic and the things that are happening. And you know, it's going to get darker, but the only remedy for the true believer, the only remedy that we have, loved one, for the darkness that we're in right now is the sure, certain, trustworthy, unchangeable word of the living God. But you have to believe it. You have to apply it. Loved one, listen, spiritual maturity is not based on what you know. I know all the books of the Bible, praise the Lord. But that's not, spiritual maturity is not based upon that. It's based upon what you do. And right now, there's enough fear nots in the Bible, enough for one every day. It's not a time for us to be afraid. It's a time for us to be believing. We have the truth. We have a sure foundation, something that we can stand on. We need to believe the word of God. The Bible says, remember what God told Joshua, the Lord. He says this in Joshua 9. He says, I've commanded you, be strong, be of good courage. Do not be afraid. Do not be dismayed. In other words, don't fall apart. He had to command Joshua that. Why? Because he was afraid. I understand. I've had fear try to come upon me. It just as it tries to come upon you. No. He says, I've commanded you. Don't you be afraid. Don't you fall apart. Don't you get discouraged. Here comes. Why? For the Lord your God is with you wherever you go. Right now, you say, Bill, I am shut in, and I've been teaching my kids all week, and I'm about ready to go crazy. Well, he's right there with you. He's right there with you right now. But I need to get out. Well, get out on the porch and wave at people. Say, turn or burn or something. I don't know. But you know what I'm saying? Say something. Listen, God's truth is timeless. It is absolutely eternal. It's more permanent than the earth. It's more permanent than time. That heaven and earth will pass away, Jesus said. But my words will never pass away. Oh, no. Listen. Listen to what God's word says. The psalmist has said in Psalm 119:89, forever, O Lord, I love this, your word, not the words that come across the news every day. Your word, God, is settled in heaven or stands firm or can never be changed. He says in Psalm 119:160, listen to this one, the entirety of your word is truth. Every word of God is true because it's God-breathed. We don't have to fear. You sit and listen to news all day long, all day long. Everything is coronavirus, coronavirus. And yes, it is. And I know, and we're praying for people in New York. We're praying for people. They're dying. There's people are dying here. We're praying, and I know you are. But we don't have to be afraid. We have the truth of God's word. The entirety of his word is truth, and every one of his righteous judgments endures forever. Aren't you glad you don't have to update the Bible? Or, you know, because it's unchangeable. It never has to change. It's eternal. So the word of God is certain. It is sure. It is unchangeable. What is the answer then for times like these? Listen carefully. Psalm 119:169 on this Palm Sunday. Let my cry come before you, O Lord. Give me understanding according to your word. Listen, we need to understand God's word more than we need to understand what's going on in the world. We need to have wisdom right now. And he gives wisdom to all if you just ask for it. No. He says, give me understanding according to your word. Here it comes. Deliver me. You should be praying that right now. Deliver me, Father, deliver me according to your word. That's perfect deliverance. That's perfect truth. That is certain truth. Deliver me according to your word. Listen to me now. Pray for the White House. Amen. But don't look to the White House. That's not the answer. Why? Because the psalmist has told us, it says in Psalm 60:11, oh God, give us help from trouble, for the help of man is useless. Man, we need to pray for those in authority. But can you, listen, the help of man is useless. Oh, loved one, not God. Oh, no, his help is never useless. Listen, and you say, well, Bill, but America, you know, look, what's going to happen to our economy in this? You know, what are we going to do? Let me give you the scripture for that. Job 12:23, he, God, makes nations great, not man, not governments. He makes nations great and destroys them. He enlarges nations and he guides them. Listen, we are to God the fragrance of Christ. That's who we are. We to God, we are the fragrance of Christ. Listen, and you know what now? I was planning on being out in all the parks with Dan and Stacy and all of that and all the other guys. So leading people to Christ. But you know what? That's not happening. Not right now, but it will. No, listen. We are on another adventure with the Lord. God's timing. I don't know why all this is happening out there. You know, there's conspiracy theories here and there. I just want to know the Word. I just want to rest in Jesus. No, listen. You know, there's a time for and a season for everything under heaven. There's a time to build an ark, loved one. That's what Noah did. There's a time to get in the ark. There's a time to be in the fishing business like Peter and the rest of them. And there's a time to roll up your fishing nets and say, no, I'm gonna follow the Lord. And you know what? We're in a time right now where you have to shelter in place. We're in a time right now when you have to practice social distancing. We're in a time right now where if you go outside, you go into public, they want you to wear a mask. Praise the Lord. It's okay. We're just in a season. I want you to listen to me now. All through this pandemic, from the very beginning to when it finally stops, I know a truth that you need to embrace with all of your heart. And that is every day, no matter how you feel, no matter that you say, I can't take another day inside, or what am I going to do? I don't have a job, or all those things. I want you to listen to me now. Every day, because you are in Christ Jesus, you can say, thanks be unto God who always leads us in triumph. He's leading us in victory right this moment. 2 Corinthians 2:14, loved one. Right now, even no matter what we're facing, I'm sitting on my couch. Okay, I'm in victory. I'm in victory right now. He's leading me. He's guiding me. He'll never forsake me. No, he's always with us. Yeah, but Bill, it just seems like we're wandering through this world, wandering through this, whatever this is. Oh, loved one, go to the Word of God. It's certain. It's sure. Well, I cried myself to sleep. Why would you do that? I'm not condemning you. But you don't have to do that. But if you did, we have the sure Word of God. He says in Psalm 56:8, oh, God, you number my wanderings, every step you've taken. Every step through the house, you go to here to the garage, guys, or whatever you do, you mow, whatever you're doing. He knows every step you've taken since this pandemic has started, and he'll know every step until you go home. He knows. He says, oh, you put my tears in a bottle. Are they not in your book? Listen, the only way that God can put your tears in his bottle and write them in his book is to be right there next to you and catch them. He knows what every tear means. He knows everything that you're going through. See, you have the Word of God. You have it right now. Listen to what the psalmist says. He says, oh, when I cry out, meaning in prayer to you, then the results of my prayer, when I cry, my enemies, they're going to turn back. Now listen to this. This I know because God is for me. God is for you. And listen to what he says. In God, I will praise his word. When is the last time you just praised his word? And not only that, he says it again, in the Lord, I will praise his word. In God, I've put my trust. I'm not going to be afraid. What can man do to me? When is the last time you held up your Bibles in your home? Lord, I praise your word. It's the truth. And you shall know the truth, and the truth will set you free. Oh, loved one, listen. We don't have to be afraid. We have to be wise. And you get your wisdom from God. See, we have a lot of knowledge in our country right now, trying to figure out what is going to work. See, that's knowledge. But we need wisdom. And the Bible is the wisdom of God. Oh, listen, some of you, I know that maybe you're alone. You're alone at home. Or I know there are families here, they're home and they're ill. I love you, man. We are praying for you every day. We will not stop praying for you. And you said, well, Bill, I need comfort in my heart. Then go to God's word. Go there and believe God's word. Listen to God. Listen to this promise. It says in 2 Corinthians 1:3, blessed be the God of the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of mercies and the God of all comfort. God is the source of all true comfort. He's the source of all true mercies, loved one. Listen, the world right now, as they should be, and there are people listening right now all over the world, and I thank God that you are. And I thank God that you're a believer. And if you're not, I'm going to talk to you in a minute about that. But you know, listen, the world is filled with fear. And they need to be comforted. And you know what? They're running to counterfeit comfort because they're hurting. I understand. I'm not condemning. But loved one, listen, we have the greatest comforter in all of the entire universe, loved one. Listen, there's not a place that he isn't. Well, I'm alone at my home. He's alone right there with you. He's right there. Well, Bill, my loved one is in the hospital. He's right there in the hospital right now. He will never, ever leave you alone. In the loneliness of your room right this minute, if you're by yourself, you reach out to him and say, oh, comfort my heart, because your word is true. Your word is true, oh Lord. I celebrate. I rejoice in your word. He goes on and he says, oh, who comforts us in all our tribulation? Well, we're in it right now, brother. We're being squeezed. We're being pressed. But why does he do it? He says that we may be able to comfort those who are in any trouble with the comfort which we receive when we're comforted by God. Listen, the scriptures are my hope. The scriptures are my truth. And I know that they are your truth. And I know that worry has tried to come on Rebecca and me. I mean, we come against it because we see, you know, that's why I turn that news off. I can't listen to any more. I have to trust and get right back into God's word. Yeah, but Bill, I am so worried. But can I tell you something? Worry's not going to help you. If it would, I would say, go worry. No, listen. Listen, let me... Pardon me. Man, Mario is sleeping over there. Raul is sleeping back there. You guys, wake up. I need some help. All right, now, Matthew's gospel. Listen to this. Jesus said, Matthew 6:25. Jesus said, therefore I say to you, do not worry about your life. He didn't say not to plan about your life. He didn't say not to care about your life. He said, don't worry. Don't be torn apart by everything that's in your life, the physical, emotional, all of the needs that you may have. He says, oh, don't worry about your life, what you're going to eat, what you're going to drink, about your body, what you're going to put on. Is not life more than food and the body more than clothing? Oh, look at the birds of the air, for they neither sow nor reap nor gather into barns. Yet your heavenly Father feeds them. Are you not more value than they? Yes. Not a sparrow falls to the ground that he doesn't know about it, but you're all the hairs of your head, loved one, they're numbered. He knows them. He cares. He says, and which of you by worrying can add one cubit to your height, 18 inches? Worry. No, it doesn't work. Well, and Jesus said, well, you know what? If you can't do that, you know, he says, why do you worry about clothing? Consider the lilies of the field, how they grow and spin. They neither toil nor spin, and yet I say to you, even Solomon in all of his glory was not arrayed like one of these. So if God so clothes the grass of the field, which today is and tomorrow is thrown into the oven, will he not much more clothe you, O ye of little faith? Now listen, therefore, do not worry. You don't have to worry. You don't have to be torn apart. No matter what you're facing, you do not have to worry. He says, don't worry about what you're going to wear, drink, eat. Here it comes. For after all these things the Gentiles seek, those that don't know the Lord, for your heavenly Father knows that you need all these things. Now, don't worry. But do what Jesus is about to say. The next verse, but seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things, whatever you need in life, your Father already knows, all these things will be added unto you. Therefore, do not worry about tomorrow, for tomorrow will worry about its own things. Sufficient for the day is its own trouble. We stand daily. You can only live daily. Tomorrow is not here, but we know who holds tomorrow, and we are secure in him, for our very life is hidden in God, in Christ Jesus our Lord. We're secure, loved one. We're sealed with the Holy Spirit until the very day of redemption. You can trust the word of God, pardon me, that he exalts above his very name. We're born again. It says in 1 Peter 1:23, having been born again, not of corruptible seed, but incorruptible, here it comes, through the word of God, which lives. See, God's word's alive, which lives and abides forever. We heard the word of God. We believed the word of God. We became a new creation. He says this. He says, oh, the word of God, which lives and abides forever, because all flesh, that means everybody, is nothing but grass. And all the glory of man is a flower of the grass. Grass withers, flower falls away. Pardon me. But the word of the Lord endures forever, forever. Listen, remember what Jesus said to Thomas? Thomas, you know, Lord, we don't know where you're going. We don't know the way. We're in all the rest. Jesus said on John 14:6, he said, oh, I am the way. I am the truth. I am the life. Jesus said, I'm the way. You can follow him. And you know what? You'll never get lost. And you could, in the entire universe, you could follow him and never, ever be lost. He says, I am the truth. That means the truth that excludes all error. He says, I am the life, meaning Jesus is the source of life. Jesus said, I've come that you might have life and have it more abundantly. Oh, loved one, we are in our Savior. No one comes to the Father except by me. No one. That excludes every religion. He loves every person. But there's no middle ground with God. No, you know, Christianity is not just another religion among the many. No, no, no. Every religion on earth is excluded but one. There's only one way to heaven. There's only one way to the Father, and that is through Jesus Christ our Lord. There's not given another name under heaven by which man can be saved except the name of Christ Jesus, Acts 4:12. There's only one mediator between God and man, and the man Christ Jesus. No other, only Jesus. Oh, loved one, listen. The word of God. Rejoice over the word. Celebrate the word. Hold your Bibles up in your home and say, I have the only book on earth that came from heaven. It is alive. It is real. All of his promises are yes. And again, I say yes and amen in Christ Jesus our Lord. How incredible is the word of God for this Palm Sunday? May I just read an anonymous writer of what he said about the incredible word of God. As he said, it makes the Bible the most extraordinary, unique book in all of the history of mankind. Listen to what he says. This book contains the word of God, the state of man, the way of salvation, the doom of sinners, the happiness of believers. Its doctrines are holy. Its precepts are binding. Its histories are truth. Its decisions are immutable. Read it to be wise. Believe it to be safe. And practice it to be holy. It contains light to direct you, food to support you, comfort to cheer you. It's the traveler's map, the pilgrim's staff, the pilot's compass, the soldier's sword, and the Christian's charter. Here paradise is restored and heaven is open. The gates of hell is closed. Christ is his grand object, our good, its design, the glory of God, its end. And it will fill the memory, rule the heart, guide the feet. Read it slowly. Read it frequently. Read it prayerfully. It is a mine of wealth, a paradise of glory, a river of pleasure. It is given in life, will be opened at the judgment and be remembered forever. It involves the highest responsibility and will restore and will require the greatest labor. And it will condemn all who trifle with its sacred contents. We have the immutable, unchangeable, eternal Word of God. It belongs to you. It's given unto you. Jesus, as I said earlier, heaven and earth will pass away. Everything we know that is familiar will pass away. Jesus, in my words, will never pass away. Loved one, this is God's Word. We are in a pandemic, but you know what? We don't have to be fearful. We don't have to be afraid that our needs are not going to be met. We don't have to be discouraged and we don't have to fall apart. And this is not a pep talk. This is the Word of God. You know what you need? Some of you need that peace. Listen to this promise. Isaiah 26:3, you will keep him in perfect peace whose mind is stayed on you. Why? Well, because he trusts in you. Oh, trust in the Lord forever. For in Yah, the Lord, is everlasting strength. I believe the promises of God. I stand on the promises of God. Stand with me on them. Psalm 91:3, surely, I love that word. That means there's just no way. Surely, it's a fact. Surely he will deliver you from the snare of the fowler and from the perilous pestilence. Is Jesus Christ your Lord? Maybe you're gathered with friends in bedrooms or there in homes or apartments, wherever you might be. You may be sitting in your car looking at your iPad or on your iPhone. I don't know. Wherever you are in the world, is Jesus your Lord? Listen, you need to come to him. No, you need to run to him. You need to come right now because you know what? This world is going to pass away one day. Wherever this pandemic leads, it doesn't matter, but I know where Jesus leads. He leads you home. No man comes to the Father except through Jesus Christ. He is the way and he is the truth. So right now, you don't know him. Ask him, Jesus, come into my life. Just pray this prayer with me right now. Say, oh Father, my heart is open. I want Jesus to be the Lord of my life. Oh Lord, save me. I believe with all of my heart that he is the King of kings and the Lord of lords. Jesus, I believe. Be my Lord. Save me right now. Forgive me of all my sin. In Jesus' name, I pray. You prayed that prayer. You believed that prayer. You, sir, you, ma'am, you are born from above. Right now. And listen, here's what I want you to do. I want you to email me at info@loveneverfails.com. And I'm going to send you a book free of charge. Just give me your address, and I'm going to send you a book called Welcome to the Family of God. Everybody else, listen, guys, I love you dearly. I miss you dearly, and we're going to make it. This week is a week of celebration, and we are going to celebrate Resurrection Sunday. We're going to hold the bread. We're going to hold the cup. We're going to hear the Word of God, and we're going to thank the Lord for Jesus Christ. I love you dearly. The Lord bless you. The Lord keep you in all your ways.